I have promised not to bring any Greek words to our attention this morning. But don't forget that what we are going to read in English has been first written in Greek. The reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 3. And then we're going to move into 2 Corinthians 4. Because it's going to be on the overlap areas. This is a point of connection, in reality, for myself. Because just a short while before we left Greece, I was speaking on 2 Corinthians. So this is all fresh in my mind. 7 months old. 2 Corinthians 3, and starting with verse 12, and we're going to move into 2 Corinthians 4 and come to verse 7, where we're going to stop our reading for this morning. Having therefore such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not as Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, that the sons of Israel might not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. One of the questions that I have struggled with over the years since I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior is, what are the qualifications for serving God? What does God want from me so He can use me in a mighty and powerful way? I mean, in our midst there is a scholar, a writer, who writes, you know, like we read a novel or something. I mean, he writes stuff, Jerry. And I say, well, how can I be a writer and an author as great as Jerry is? Or Bill, I mean, those tremendous editorial articles, and others, Jim Starr, and others who amongst us write. Well, one thing I can do is go and pick up a Wheaton undergraduate catalog and open under Jerry's name and see that he did some work in Biola, and then he came to Wheaton, and then he went to Chicago, and say, oh yeah, that's it. You see, I'll reconstruct my life. I'll go to Biola, then I'll come to Wheaton, and then I'll go to Chicago, and then I'll end up being a great person like Jerry's. Or how can I be an Apostle Paul? I know, I'll go back to Jerusalem, persecute the church, and then I'll ride a horse and go on the way to Damascus, and there God is going to stop me for sure and reveal himself to me in a mighty and marvelous way, so I can be used of him in the great way God used Apostle Paul. Over the past 10 to 12 years, I have been asked time and again this very question: what does it take? When we came to the States home for a break, this year's break, which turned out to be a study catastrophe, somebody asked me, says, I'm on my way to Greece. Can you tell me, what did you do so others accepted you? How come and you have a rapport with various denominational groups in a place where there is so much tearing apart of the saints each other? What is it? What does it take to be a servant of God? What can I do? I had to struggle with that question. I am not sure if I know exactly the answer, but I have some faint idea. I think from Scripture, the Word of God gives us an idea. The other day on WMBI, I was listening to that beautiful song, "To Be Used of God." It's my desire. I want to be used of God. I want to know how to serve him in a way that will bring glory to him. I don't want to be just a passive person who sits in the pews of the local church just listening to sermons. I want to be used of God. How can I do it? I think Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4, he has more or less spelled it out. Yes, we have boldness and we have hope. But God, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, has brought us into the fellowship of his Son. And it is this relationship between myself, the redeemed of God, and him, God himself, that brings the element which is necessary for me to be used of God. College student, person who anticipates and looks forward to going to college. Each one of us. How can I be used of God? Well, the very essence of creation and the very essence of salvation is this issue of fellowship with God and walking with God. If I don't know how to walk with God, if I don't have a disciplined life of walking with God and living in communion with God, I cannot be used of God in the way God demands. Because I won't know what he wants of me. I won't know how his heart beats. What does he want? He has made it possible, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 17, that I may live in fellowship with him. He has called me to the fellowship of his Son. He has brought me to himself, as we read last week, from the book of Exodus. You know how I have lifted you and carried you on eagle's wings to bring you to myself, to me. My original purpose, God says in the book of Exodus, was not just to deliver you from Egypt, to let you loose in the desert and then on to bring you to the promised land. But my intention was to bring you to me. My intention was to restore that initial fellowship. Now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, this has been possible. I can use great boldness. I don't have to hide myself. I just approach God. Let us draw near, the writer of Hebrews writes. With an unveiled face, I can behold the glory of God. It sounds so theoretical, so much up there somewhere. You know, yeah, great. Here I'm faced with severe and serious problems. And you're talking to me about that glory of the Lord which I'm supposed to behold. Yeah. And I would like to take time next time to just look into the dynamics and the methods of looking and living into a life of meaningful relationship with God. But what I have in mind for this morning is to just establish this necessity of walking with Him. I can look, I can behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And that fellowship with God can transform my life, can transform me and make me like His. And this is not an instantaneous type of procedure. But from glory to glory, as I draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me. And we can have fellowship. John, the apostle. You don't have to turn. You know these verses. I'll just bring them out again to our attention. In his first epistle, he says, I took time to write my gospel. Not only that we can have fellowship with one another, myself, John, and you, the Christians, but to have fellowship with Him, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do I have fellowship with God? I'm not talking about the hours of fellowship as we meet around the Lord's table to remember Him corporally. But do I have time for Him? Do I have time for Him to listen to His voice, to read His word? Do I draw nigh to Him? When God was speaking of His people, Israel, He was talking about people near Him, touching Him, approaching Him. I'm tempted to throw some Greek words in there, but I won't. Even in the Gospels, and in the Synoptic Gospels, and I'm looking in to Mark 3, verse 14. He appointed the Lord Jesus Christ 12 disciples. He appointed 12 that they might be with Him in fellowship and communion with Him, so that He might send them out to preach. He invited and appointed 12 so that they might be with Him, and then that He might send them out to preach. Reminds me of my son Peter. We visited the Museum of Science and Industry a few months ago, and he saw a huge tractor in the museum. He says, Dad, this is the stuff I want to drive when I become old. You have to wait. You have to let your legs grow enough to be able to reach the pedals. That means you have to exercise and drink a lot of milk and other stuff. And then you have to get your driver's license. And then you have to pass examinations. And then you might be able to do it. I want to serve the Lord. I mean, the typical question we ask is, are you willing? Do you want to serve the Lord? Oh, yeah, sure. I was listening to a conversation the other day in a class, and one of the teachers was saying, you know, we are faced with this problem. She was sharing some problem of a church planting exercise that takes place in Chicago. And says, well, the guy that leads the work there, he likes doing what... what he's doing. He likes to be the leader, and he likes doing what he's doing, and since he likes it, we all have agreed, and he always liked to be a leader. In the meantime, a lot of the problems that showed that he was not able and he was not mature enough. And the question that I ask is he walking with God? Does he live in communion with God? Does he know God? Oh, he's saved, yes. We're not sure he was there. Yeah. How can I be used of God? I want to be used of God. This is my desire. I want to be used of God in a mighty way. I want to have His mighty power, His mighty saving power flow out of me and touch lives. How do I do it? Oh, I will escape to the mission field. I'll do it there. After all, I won't have the criticism of my family that says, look, I mean, you know, you don't know how to tie your shoes yet. You don't know how to fry an egg. Now you want to go out evangelism at the COD campus? Oh, come on. I want to be used of God. I will probably get a diploma. That will help me. I will do other things. And our life is spent in strategizing and planning. And in the meantime, we're avoiding the issue that God created man to have fellowship with Him. He was coming down, meeting and visiting with Adam. He saved us to bring us to Himself. Am I there? He chose the 12 to be with Him first before He sent them out. So He can say in John 15:27, you will bear witness. You will be able to stand on your two feet and proclaim the saving power of Myself through the work I have done. You will bear witness because you have been with Me from the beginning. The people of Israel were supposed to proclaim the goodness of God and His saving power because they were a people near to Him, as we read in Psalm 148:146. In Exodus 19:46, I have brought you to Myself. I wanted you. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us and to purify us for Himself. Am I in fellowship with Him? 1984, I took one of my normal travels to Lausanne, Switzerland. And it was a time when I was visiting Lausanne every 3 months. Part of the exercise and being the committee for mission while we were organizing Mission 87. And we were spending a lot of hours in four walls on our knees and praying to God that the Lord would really lead us to the right speakers, speaking about Missions Congress, a congress similar to our Urbana Congress here in Urbana every 3 years. Missions is an equivalent congress with emphasis on missions that takes place in Europe every 3 years. And we were praying and looking to the Lord and spending a lot of hours in prayer. And then we came to the second stage, which was the selection of topics and small seminars. What do we want to say to the 11,500 European youth who will come to this Congress to look to the fields of the world and look to the Lord's work to go as missionaries out of Europe to the ends of the world? What will we say to those young people? Well, one brother from Germany, he says, well, we should teach them the philosophy of missions or the theology of missions. Okay, we'll get so-and-so brother from England, from the London Bible College. He's going to be the speaker of that. Another topic. When do we start spelling out topics, working and struggling and praying? And when we thought we were almost done and would go and walk by Lac Leman and take a breath of fresh air late in the afternoon, after being in the room for a lot of hours in the four walls, one Swiss brother said, "Do you know something? We have missed something." "Missed something? What are you talking about? We're done." "No, I think we have missed something. We have missed
say to the young people, what does it take to go? What is the prerequisite? What is there before I go out? What should be there? You know, it's not just a project packed and written nicely in a book of strategies for the Lord. But it's a lifestyle that God demands that it should be developed in our life from glory to glory. So we decided to call on George Fairworth to speak on the subject, how to walk with God. To speak on the subject, how can I walk with God on a permanent, regular, meaningful way on a daily basis? I'll tell you the story of what Joe said next Sunday, which is an extremely interesting and very hilarious story. Yes. Before I come to chapter 4 to say that I have a ministry, before I come to the point to say, yes, I have a ministry, I know what God wants from me, before I'm able to say that I have received mercy, I have a ministry, I will not lose heart, but I will do the work of the Lord, I have to experience verse 18 of the previous chapter. An unveiled face. Communion with God. No veil of sin. Yeah. Sin might enter in. It's very possible. But it belongs to the next part B, next Sunday. How it's been handled. We all know that through confession and bringing to the Lord, we set aside that which comes between us and the Lord in terms of fellowship. With unveiled face, we behold the glory of the Lord, and I'm transformed in the image of Him from glory to glory, from stage to stage. I look more like Him. I understand more what He wants of me. And then I can say, yes, I have a ministry. Yes, I have received mercy. Yes, I do not lose heart. Yes, I have renounced the things which are hidden because of shame. And I'm ready to commend myself in the sight of God. Paul, in writing to Timothy, he said the same thing in a different way. I want to be used of God. Yes, Timothy, you want to be used of God. What shall I do? Well, I will look distinguished. I will carry on my back a variety of diplomas. Maybe that will give me the clout I need to really be the leader God wants me to be. I remember it was kind of funny when the Lord called us back to Greece. I had a brother who was introducing me in one of the church groups up in the northern parts of Greece. And he was saying that John has been a great scientist. And he was this and that, and a variety of stories. And one of the sisters picked me up at the end and says, well, what are you doing preaching now? And another one, it was good and interesting what you said. Simply because she thought I was the guy that the introducer was saying I was. But is it all these things that make us qualify for his service? Paul says to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, to him. You show to him that you're a workman who does not need to be ashamed. You learn of him how to divide the word of truth. For Timothy, he who commends himself is not the approved, but approved is the one whom the Lord commands. well, what kind of a commendation letter God can write about me? It might be a little different than the letter of commendation my elders or my church can write. What kind of a letter of commendation can God write for me? Recommendation. Am I learning to live before Him? Am I learning to behold His glory? Am I beholding His glory are transformed into the same image, step by step, coming to know Him in a better way, in a deeper way, in a meaningful way? I remember in times past I used to write letters back home and say, pray for this, and pray for that, and pray for the other. And when the Lord really brought me face to face with this, I remember I wrote a letter back saying, the only prayer request for this month is pray that I can walk with God closer. Pray that I can come closer to Him. I will draw nigh to Him. You see, I need to draw, and we need to draw from His resources, from His Spirit, in the realm of the freedom He has called us into, freedom of fellowship with Him, fellowship with the Father, and fellowship with His Son, and fellowship of the Spirit. Am I in fellowship with Him? Am I in contact with Him? Am I in touch? Do I draw nigh to Him? May God help me, help each other. Let us close in prayer. Savior, our heart delights in You. We want to know You. We want to enter in a close fellowship with You, Father. The very essence of Your creating us was to be near us. The very essence of You redeeming us in the person of Your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, was to be in contact, in fellowship with us. In spite of our sin, in spite of our iniquity, in spite of our inability to see things clear, You redeemed us. And You have made provision by removing that which was separating us from You in the work of Your dear Son, our Savior, our Lord Jesus. And now You expect us and You want us to live in fellowship with You. Lord, I pray, and we all pray, that You will enable us to walk close with You. You will enable us to develop a disciplined pattern of spending time with You, knowing You, learning of You, knowing You in the same way You know us. We pray in the precious name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ.